cafe. Anyway, hello, it's Mike. How are you today?
It's Mike's Daddy Podcast.
It is. And, you know, I'm Mike, basically. And Mike Matthews is my name. And here we do a show that is called
Mike's Daily Podcast.
And we cover all kinds of things. And I sing and I do brings to you a podcast that you won't hear anywhere else. If you do, I am going to be surprised. And so you might think this is the end of the song and be right. It did kind of stink, but that's okay. I'm no Taylor Swift. I can't write the most perfect intro song.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
You know, I'm on TikTok. Did I mention that? I have little videos, like little 60-second
Mike's
pieces
Daily
of these podcasts.
Podcast.
Just the audio.
Yeah.
That I upload. And I don't use the app, the phone app. No. But I find that since I've started doing that, and it was making it very difficult for me to, I use the web version, the website version. I think you just go to TikTok.com and you can find me there. Mike's Daily Podcast is what I'm, my handle. But what I don't get, I guess now that I'm using it, I'm not, I would never put it on my phone. I don't want that, but and I would never sit there and go through. I have still yet never watched completely a TikTok video, but to all of you who don't use it or don't know what it is, it's basically YouTube, but much faster paced and shorter videos. If you're the type of YouTube enjoyer person who likes to go on and watch YouTube videos like myself, I prefer the ones that are 8 minutes and over. I don't like them any shorter than that. I don't like the shorts or whatever they call them, the reels. No, that's on Instagram. I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a big... I like to sit there and see what people do. The up-and-coming young documentarians. And see what they're doing.
And here's today's podcast picture.
I really enjoy that. The DIY type things where people go, well, I was interested in this history, and then they dig into it as far as they can. Who knows if it's right or not, but I get, oh, it gets me thinking about things other than my regular day-to-day and the regular. That's what this podcast should help you do, is stop thinking, because you're at a cafe. You don't want to be thinking about the same stuff over and over again. The podcast pictures of a cloudy day in Fremont this week. And the late, great Basil the Boxer, he enjoyed taking me walking every single day of his life. And when he couldn't walk anymore, that's when things got weird. That's when I was, oh, I miss him walking. And then I'm thinking about getting another dog, but then my lovely lady friend and I had a discussion about it yesterday, and it was, eh. We've got these two cats. One of the cats is like a dog. If we didn't have, if we just had one cat, maybe we'd get a dog. Maybe we would. But two cats keeps us busy. So after years of raising concerns about the mega popular Chinese-owned app, the U.S. took its biggest step to banish TikTok from American phones. The House passed a bill over the weekend requiring a forced sale or ban of TikTok in the U.S. within a year. The bill did go through the Senate. And it was signed by President Biden, I believe, today or yesterday or the day before that or something like that. I'm going to confirm that. Give me just 1 second. But first, this little moment.
The word of dog.
There you go. There's Basil chiming in about doing all the wonderful things we used to, all the walks that we used to do. So, oh, that Billie Eilish song that you hear on the radio all the time. Where is she singing in the super high register? I'm amazed I can hear it. And I'm a Gen Xer. I think that song is meant only for really young people. Not even the Gen Zers. The Alphas is what I think are the only ones that are supposed to be able to hear it. Oh, let's see. No, wait. I may have mistaken that. As of this recording, lawmakers vote to ban TikTok again, solidifying Congress's stance that it's just moving ahead in Congress.
Mike's Matthewsman Park.
The front panel will close automatically. Please remain seated at all times.
Yes, going up and down with the news. But I think by the time you hear this, Biden will have signed it. Okay. At any rate, is that going to stop people from using it and finding a way to use it? Probably not. TikTok is owned by ByteDance. Officials fear that the data of TikTok's 170 million users, U.S. users, could wind up in the hands of the Chinese government. Now, I was listening to something, I think it was on Bloomberg, about how in China, TikTok is slightly different. It's actually more educational. And there's some other app that's just making all the children and the kids and the youngins go brain dead with the stupidity that it's feeding them. But, you know, we had a similar thing when I was a kid. It was called Saturday Morning Television. We'd sit there watching it with our mouths, jaws wide open, drool, etc. There's also concern that Beijing could put its thumb on TikTok's algorithm to promote its interests and influence American public opinion. Right now, there are no TikTok apps allowed on phones that the government has. I think it was the government issued phones, the federally owned phones,
The Daily Haley. The Almost Daily Haley.
And a happy Daily Haley to you, to all of you named Haley. I don't know what Nikki Haley was supposedly didn't have. She was supposedly not on TikTok, but on her daughter's TikTok, or had an account through her daughter. And then Ramaswamy guy said something about that at one of the debates, and she said, "You don't talk about my daughter, or you get your daughter's, you get, don't get your daughter, my daughter, don't say her name," basically. However poetic way she put that. As we go outside a cafe anyway, where we bring you Mike's Daily Podcast, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth here in the land of America.
Anyway,
cafe. Anyway, ByteDance will have to find a buyer within 9 months. And TikTok is China's most successful app globally. Beijing has signaled it's not going to allow a sale by ByteDance, adding further uncertainty to TikTok's fate in the months ahead. Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to be the government versus China. I'm not going to be pro-TikTok at all, because every TikTok user that I've seen are the most annoying pieces of pus I have ever seen on the planet Earth. And it saddens me that people spend time watching them.
Mike's but that's out of left field recordings.
Recording everything. Captures actions that will never again be repeated.
But that's my little out of left field recording about that. Billie Eilish singing super high on that song from Barbie. I think it's popular merely because it came out of the movie Barbie, and she's Billie Eilish, and she's popular. But I don't think it's the best song she's ever done. But she recently opened up about lifelong battle with depression. "I've never been a happy person." What a surprise. But she hasn't, and that is a thing. Depression is not a joke. And you should definitely seek counseling. Seek help. Not from a bottle, not from drugs, don't self-medicate. You need actual help. And that's something. Somebody said to me, a millennial said to, or actually he's a Gen X, Gen Zer. He said to me, "You know, your generation did not at all."
And now we return you to our regularly scheduled program with Mike Matthews.
"Go in for the whole therapy thing, did you?" And I said, "You're right, yeah, no." He goes, "My generation," meaning Generation Y, "is all about that. Is all about, okay, I feel there's something wrong with me. I should get it checked out." Clinical depression is often described as constant or frequent feelings of apathy hopelessness, helplessness, or feeling so overwhelmed or disconnected from other people or events that it becomes difficult to even carry out day-to-day tasks or responsibilities. That from USA Today about Billie Eilish. People also very concerned about losing weight. And we were starting to talk a little bit about that. I think we were trying to talk about Ozempic or something the other day about how it supposedly helps you sleep, fight sleep apnea. I forget which one of them does that. A highly popular group of weight loss and diabetes drugs. Diabetes drugs like Wegovy, Ozempic, Zepbound are decreasing some consumers' appetites. That's one of the things they do. So that would not be a surprise. But 63% of people taking those medications called GLP-1s say they are spending less on eating out at restaurants and ordering takeout. Some are even tightening their purse strings in the grocery store. So my whole thing would be don't. And I knew somebody once that, remember, before all this, before all these weight loss drugs, it was all about getting the gastric bypass. Remember how big that was in the early O's? People were doing that left and right and almost died. I think some people probably did die. I know someone who came close to dying after getting the surgery. But it was all about, oh, I'm going to lose weight. I've seen other
people get it. Mr. President, are you suggesting President Biden's using cocaine?
I don't know what he's using, but that was not, hey, he was higher than a kite. And by the way, it was the worst address I've ever seen. State of the Nation. I'll tell you, State of the Union. That's not State of the Union because he doesn't represent us properly. That I can tell you.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't think cocaine is the answer either. But that was so somebody I knew, not that guy that was just talking, but somebody I knew had the gastric bypass, almost died. Okay. They ate once everything settled down and were getting used to their gastric bypass, they would eat the worst food. They'd eat chips, anything that came out of bags, processed just crud. They would eat. Ugh. Did they lose weight? Yes. But they were so unhealthy. So 31.5 million people, or around 9% of our population of the grand USA, will take GLP-1s by the year 2035.
A fine article. Cool.
Silly, great, fat article.
So that they won't be silly, fat articles. This is what I've discovered here. I got this information from Rob Black. I produce his podcast. He is on the radio in the Bay Area, AM 1220 KDOW, weekday mornings, and then on Monday through Thursday on Cron TV in the 9 o'clock hour. Healthier, fast, casual restaurants like Cava, Chipotle, Sweetgreen, and Starbucks are better prepared. More indulgent, fast, casual restaurants could face more pressure, including Jack in the Box, Wendy's, McDonald's, Wingstop, and Shake Shack. So, see, all the fast food places who are paying $20 an hour minimum wage.
The Fascinating Material Project.
Isn't that fascinating material? I heard some guy today who obviously hates California, hates liberals, hates anybody who ain't red from a red state and bleeds red, etc. I guess we all bleed red, but that's the other. He lives in, I live in Florida, and he's from New York originally, but he lives in Florida. He goes, I hear California, they're paying $7 a gallon for gas. No, we're not. In fact, gas is going down here in California. It was past $5. It's dropping down. I saw a gas station today under $5. So calm down. And yes, fast food places, they are charging, let's hear it for fast food places, they are charging, they're going to be charging more probably to compensate for this higher minimum wage, but they're fast food restaurants. They're not good for you. Does anybody listen to me? So the people that are better prepared for these people that are eating less, the major big 31.5 million people, or 9% of our population, will be Chipotle, Sweetgreen, Starbucks, and Cava. They are offering healthier, quick meals. Whereas Jack in the Box, Wendy's, McDonald's, Wingstop, Shake Shack, those are going to get, they're going to have to come up with healthier options. And they're going to have to revamp their image. Consumption of ice cream, cakes, cookies, candy, chocolate, frozen pizzas, chips, and regular sodas could fall up to 5% in 11 years. Analysts also expect a roughly 3% decrease in the consumption of alcohol. Yeah. Because don't forget, alcohol is so fattening. Because it turns to sugar. Everybody, that's the name of my, it's going to be the name of my podcast. It turns to sugar. Welcome to It Turns to Sugar. Home prices going up, according to Freddie Mac. Let's see. Well, by a little bit, from this year to next year, about 5.5%. That's hardly anything. The view for 2024 suffered, especially compared to the start of the year when prices were seen rising by almost 3%. Let's see. CEO pay. Yes, if you're a CEO, your pay. Well, let's hear it for you. Your pay rose to another record last year in 2023. And shareholders did even better. It was almost a 12% gain in CEO pay, which is less than the 13.8, almost 14% total return to shareholders produced by the three companies last year, or these companies last year. Broadcom CEO got a whopping $161 million in compensation last year, up 8%. So let's see, Taylor Swift, she sold 1.4 million copies of the new album on its first day of release. It is called The Tortured Poets Department. Ladies and gentlemen, all you future singers, songwriters, never put out an album called The Tortured Poets Department until you've been doing it for well over 20 years, which she's almost at 20 years at this point. Let's see, she started, yeah, that's right. Well, I think she first arrived on the scene in 2007, if I am not mistaken. That marks Taylor's biggest sales week ever for any album in the U.S., plus 31 songs. It has 31 songs. That's a lot for an album. Back when in my day, it was, what, 11? 12 songs on an album? 11, if you... No, 10. It was 10. That's right, 5 on each side.
We will travel into the incredible universe.
So 31, wow. On-demand audio streams in the U.S. last week, she generated 243.4 million... audio streams, on-demand audio streams. So people wanted that much. They played those songs 243.4 million times. I guess that's one way of putting it. That's more than double the number of streams generated on the first day of her last release, called 1989 Taylor's Version. That was a 21-song album that spurred 110 million streams on its opening day. And finally, Tesla cut its price on three models after tumultuous week. Last week, and ahead of earnings, the company lowered the price of its Model Y, Model X, Model S vehicles by $2,000. You heard all about that already. I think we covered that already. And there's even more news about Elon that I won't go into here because you're probably sick and tired of hearing about him. What's the latest? What's the latest about his ex-wife or what, baby mama had problems at Coachella. He said something in the earnings call that got everyone excited about robot technology, but overall critics were underwhelmed, as critics tend to be. Anyway, Cafe Anyway, that's all I got right now. That and Rick Brunell is such a Hasood. But spell that backwards and you'll know what I was trying to say. Look who's here.
Holograph user Charlie Stewart, gift shop supervisor. Who's that guy?
Oh, he's this guy that he's like an expert they call on that supposedly knows, you know, what globally America needs to do to defend itself and to be a good ally.
Hey, to kids. Its allies. It's me. Do-re-mi the clown.
And then he always takes everything and injects a clown into whatever he's talking about. No, he whatever he talks about, like Do-re-mi the clown, he always ends up turning whatever he's talking about into some new opportunity to bash Biden. In retrospect, years from now, we will all see how the people that bashed Biden were the most ageist idiots on the planet. The people that bashed Nikki Haley. We had a Daily Haley a little earlier. The people that bashed her were the biggest sexist toads ever on this planet. We will see this years from now. The people that marched on the Golden Gate Bridge and shut it down, they will realize how they sounded like pro-Hamas and how they are going to look in the future. All these college students are going to look like Hitler youth.
The they might have quarters, quarter. Corner.
Da, 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 the cutting corners corner.
If we cut all the corners and just look at it for what it really is in the future, we will see this. I was talking to a guy the other day who hosts a radio show. He doesn't say this stuff on the air, but he said it on the phone with me before the show. He goes, you know, if let's say Hamas was next to Russia and it tried to do something like this to Russia, what they did, and I had the wrong date. It's October 7th. I think I might have said October 6th. I conflated the, I confused, obviously, the Trump thing, the June 6th thing with the horrible happenings in Israel. But he was saying that when Hamas attacked Israel, if Hamas had done the same thing to Russia, Russia would have turned the Gaza Strip into glass. And a part of everyone would agree with that. Now, today I talked to a conservative friend of mine who has interviewed Benjamin Netanyahu a couple of times, and he says, yes, you know, it is something, it is a thing that people are getting sick of, where Israel responds to a slap in the face with a bazooka. You know, they don't stand by, they don't turn the other cheek. Which is odd, because Jesus, Israel, he was a Jew, he said that, turn the other cheek, and that the Jewish nation of Israel is like, no, if you throw a ball at us, we'll throw a cannonball at you, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, but you're not getting any friends marching on Golden Gate Bridge and shutting it down, or shutting down 880 in the Bay Area. Or all these other crazy things that students are doing at the universities.
Ginormous.
And somebody put it rather interesting that comments about these sort of things and comes from a conservative angle. Carol Platt Liebau.
Magnification.
She said the United Nations Relief and Works Agency is supposed to be devoted to the relief and human development of the Palestinians. In practice, it seems employees are far more radically committed to advancing Palestinian interests. She says the Wall Street Journal has just reported that approximately 1,200 of the agency's employees in Gaza are actually operatives of Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad. More than half have close relatives who belong to the terrorist organization. It's shocking to learn that the agency has links to high levels of the U.S. government. In fact, Biden's senior director for intelligence programs on the White House National Security Council staff was actually an official of this pro-Palestinian UN agency, even as the group was providing material support to terrorism. It raises troubling questions about the administration's judgment and the information terrorist groups may have had and have been able to glean about our intelligence capabilities. And I know some of our older listeners on this podcast may remember all the demonstrations that were going on our campuses during the Vietnam War. Seth Leibson wrote, "With all the convulsions at our campuses on behalf of Hamas, an officially designated terrorist organization, we need to ask what these students are being taught. What are they being taught? The protesters and the rioters, after all, are marching and rioting against one of the most classically liberal entities in the world, Israel. And on behalf of a society of the medieval, they are marching on behalf of a society of the medieval, the radical Islam. Don't forget, radical Islam kills LGBTQ identifiers. They ban abortion and religious pluralism, and they oppress women. Yet these college students are marching for that. They are marching on behalf of a government that is perhaps the least enlightened in the history of the world." And Seth Leibson is very conservative. And I like how he wrote that. But in writing that sentence, he was basically saying that liberals are enlightened. Meanwhile, the administration, like most colleges, to borrow from the political philosopher Leo Strauss, are listening and paying tribute to the least wise. They are listening and paying tribute to the least wise and least moderate part of the nation, while it is in its least wise and least moderate mood, and at the same time praising wisdom and moderation. So he ends this with the same thing I was wondering myself. Will these people that are supporting Hamas today on the college campuses look back and someday ask, "What was I thinking?" As those who supported Germany in the 1930s did, or the Soviets in the 1940s and 50s? That is the question. Outside a cafe anyway, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth, look who's here.
Oh my God, this is really too hard to give Trump supervisor. Wow, you got a little bit of political there, Mike Matthew.
Just stuff that's in the air that we're all thinking about. Do you have any snow globes?
Mike Matthews, I'm all out of snow globes today, so don't really have anything else to talk about, Mike Matthew.
Okay. Are you on TikTok?
No.
Okay, look who else is here.
Oh, Mike, this is Floyd the Floor Man.
And this is John Deere, the engineer. Mike, I would suggest that you figure out what's going on in the kitchen of Cafe Anyway. I think you're burning some chicken you're trying to reheat. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, thank you. Oh, wow. I see smoke. Okay. There's definitely smoke happening. So excuse me while I put this out. But meanwhile, if you'd like to call in and comment, we'd love to hear from you. No matter what you have to say, we have you, what you say, we listen to you and we play it back in the segment. Emails from email and your calm and not so comments. The phone number to call is...
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
And with more ways to find out about Mike's Daily Podcast, the past podcasts, all the places to listen to it, and all the past podcast pictures, all that, to tell you about that, it's A-Frame.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
And that was FFFsode 2809. To hear all the past podcasts, does someone out here have gas? Gas is getting cheaper. You can go back to listen to the past podcasts and catch all 2809 of them at mikesdailypodcast.com.